worthy, God. You're worthy, God. You kept us, God. In the wilderness, you're still God. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, give him glory today. Give him glory today. Give him glory today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. In spite of our circumstance today, God. In spite of what we may have lost, oh God. In spite of the trial that we're in the midst right now of, Lord God. You're still everything. And we thank you, Lord. We stand on your promises today. Hey. Oh God. Oh God. We stand on your promises, God. Thank you, Lord, that your promises are not like my promises. You're a promise-keeping God. You said, Lord, if you said it, you'll make it good, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us when we didn't want to be kept. That you've got purpose and plan for our lives. We say thank you today. And we'll be sure, God, to give you the worship, to give you the praise. We won't let a rock cry on us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you applaud your King this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. He's still everything. Amen. Amen. In the wilderness, sometimes that's all you have is to hold on to the promise that he's everything, that he said he's everything. Because right now, and sometimes in the wilderness, you have nothing. And God, I'm just holding on to your promise that you'll be my everything, that you will supply all my needs. And I don't know about you, I found him to be faithful. That he's a God of his word. But the psalmist said, I'm young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Anybody else have that testimony this morning? He's promised never to leave me, never to forsake me. Amen? Amen. I just want to thank you all. Thank our worship team for just setting the atmosphere this morning. Amen? We praise God on this morning that we serve a faithful God. That he'll never leave us alone. That he's a light in the middle of the darkness. Amen? That is who he is. And that's fitting that he's a light in the middle of the darkness. Because today we're going to be talking about that light. Shining that light. Amen? Somebody say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. First of all, I want to welcome you again. If you are a visitor here, can we give all of our guests, I want to say visitors, can we give all of our guests a round of applause? When you say visitor, that seems like, you know, that's real impersonal. But we want to give all of our guests a round of applause here and at home. We are glad that you came to worship with us today. I said it earlier. I wanted to draw your attention to our Connect card. If you could put it up on the screen, fellas, the way that people can link and find in. Listen, if you're a guest here, to let us know that you're a first-time guest, please put that up on the screen for me really quick. If you're a first-time guest, we want to be able to connect with you. Also, if you're not just a first-time guest and you're a returning guest or you're a member here, you might need prayer or something, you can go to this link at encounterchurch.net/next. I don't know. Is it going to be able to be up on the screen so people can see it? No? Technical difficulties. I'm sorry. encounterchurch.net/next. encounterchurch.net/next. You can connect with us there. And during the day, if you have any time where God's speaking to your heart and you need prayer or you want to recommit your life, you can go to that form as well. Amen? Praise the Lord. I just want to thank all of you for your prayers. Continue to keep in prayer. Two people that you don't see here this morning is our pastor emeritus. My dad, Pastor Matt, is not here. Sister Dolores, they had to take my mom to the hospital on Friday morning. my dad called us about 4:15 in the morning, said, your mom is kind of losing her balance. And so my sister and I went over there, and she's just really weak and not able to kind of stand up on her own. So we had to take her to Anne Arundel. They kept her over the night. She was discharged on yesterday. And so they are at home today. And y'all know Sister McKinney still trying to figure a way to be at church this morning. I talked to her right before I walked in. She said, he could drop me right off at the front. And somebody just him. I'm like, nah, Ma, all we need you to do is lose your footing, and then we just stay right on at home. So to you guys, they are watching at home, amen, just to show y'all your love to them and let them know that that we're praying for them, continue to keep them in prayer as well. Also, I wanted to also thank for your prayers. Y'all, I sent it out to some people. Y'all all know Shadlier Shepherd, who is here, one of them ministering here. His father, Leslie, some of you know his dad and his mom, Leslie and Monica. His father had knee surgery last week, went in his heart and went into cardiac arrest. And so some of you who know Shep, they've been here, they're like family here, went into cardiac arrest. I was told this morning by Wayne that his pulse, they did not get a pulse on him for like 4 minutes. And God, how many know that God is good? Not only is he in the land of the living, he's at home with no brain damage or nothing. Is our God able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine? So we praise God for that. Amen? That just shows the fragility of our life, and it helps us to be able to appreciate every moment. And then if God got a plan and purpose for your life, nobody going to stop it. Amen? So continue to keep their family in prayer, because he still has to go back to knee surgery. I don't know about you. After that happened to me on a routine knee surgery, I'd be nervous. But God is going to give him the strength and the grace. So please pray for that family as well, that God will continue to be with them. And all of those who are sick and unable to be with us, we have so many people who are dealing with some. My youngest this morning woke up sick this morning. So please pray for those who are going through things. Amen? Amen. This morning, we're going to get into the Word. We have been in Matthew chapter 5. We started off when we looked at the Beatitudes. We talked about the upside down kingdom, how whatever God says, it tells us to do is usually opposite of what the world is telling us to do. And then last week we looked at what it means to be salt, to be salty, and to be salt, not to be too salty. Amen. Because we want to be salt, but salt is supposed to enhance the flavor without being too overpowering, too salty. And we saw that illustration last week as we looked at the flavor of salt, whether it's nicely seasoned, no season, or too much, and how that can affect our culture. And God has placed us in the culture to be a seasoning, to be an enhancer. He's placed us in the culture to save, to slow down the corruption. That's what he's called us to do. He's placed us in the culture to be a salve. That's what salt does. Salt, you apply salt on wounds, and it's able to bring healing. But he's also a salt, what salt does. I don't know about y'all, but salt stimulates thirst. We ought to make people thirsty for the living water. That was Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Today we're going to look at verses 14 through 16, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And we're going to, we'll start at verse 13, but we're going to talk about letting your light shine, because he's called us to be salt and light. Anybody in here afraid of the dark? Grown people, y'all ain't going to raise your hand, some of us are. I know my daughter, most of my children don't like the dark, but I know Amira, she doesn't like the dark. And so me and Andrew doesn't like the dark either. So they keep lights on. It bothers me because Pepco is a beast. So I'm walking through, I'm turning off lights. They got lights in the bathroom, and they got the night light on. I'm like, y'all going to kill me. But they don't like the dark. And one time, I remember Amira, when she gets scared, she will just freeze. She just won't move. And she'll be in her room. And I remember one time she was so afraid. She was in her room, and she swore there was somebody outside of her window knocking on her window. Now, mind you, her window is really high up. And if anybody's up there that high, I don't know. I mean, he's a beast if he got up there. But she knew she could see something outside, and she heard something knocking on her window. And it was dark outside, and she was too afraid to move. That darkness will paralyze you. But there's something about light that helps to change atmosphere. Amen? And God is saying, last week he told us that we are salt, but then he says we are also to be light. And one thing that I notice about light, no matter how dim, even a dim light changes atmosphere. If all of us have your phone, if you got your phone, you ever been to a concert or anything and it's dark and they'll tell everybody, put your cell phones up, put the light on your cell phone. If you've been outside and you have no flashlight, we're in the cell phone age now, people don't even carry flashlights. You just use the light on your phone. I'll be honest, I live in an area where it's dark in that little corner and there's a whole lot of animals that I'm just afraid of anything that ain't human at night. And so I go out to take the trash, and I'm like, that trash can in that dark corner, I'm shining my little flashlight because I'm raccoon, coyote, I don't know what it is. But even that little cell phone light just makes me feel better. Why? Because it illuminates. It helps you to see. And light, that's what light does. Light helps to change the atmosphere. And the thing about it, what we learned last week, that God has called us to be salt, but he's also, called us to be light. Light, listen, this is the difference between salt and light. Salt is something that's hidden. You don't see the salt. If you see the salt, there's a problem. It's just too salty. Salt is something that's hidden. It melts into whatever it's preserving or whatever it's flavoring. But the difference is light shines on the outside and it's open and working for everybody to see. Salt is the influence of Christian character. It's quiet but powerful. But light is the communication of the content of the gospel. It ought to be out loud and public for everybody to see. And today God is calling you to be subtle like salt, but to be bold and shine bright like a light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Light shines. No, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing as a light that doesn't shine. Even dim light shine. And he says, you are the light of the world. When he says, you are the light, you are the salt, it's interesting what the biblical authors, the tense of the words, it is written in the present indicative tense, which means it is happening right now. Right now, you are the light. Right now, it's a present indicative, meaning it's happening right now, and it's a fact. You are light, and you are salt right now. Guess what? You're light whether you want to be a light or not if you are a follower of Christ. You're light whether you want to be a light, whether you want to or not. The question is, how bright is your light shining? It didn't say, well, I want to be light. You are. It is something that you are right now, that whether you feel like it or not. And it's a statement of fact that you shine. But how bright is your light? And the thing about it, where do we get our light from? God is the source of our light. Why are you a light? Because he says that he is light. And if he's in us, then we reflect his light. 1 John chapter 1 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness, no darkness at all. God is a light, and if I say I've accepted his son, and now the presence of the living God is dwelling in me, I'm a light. I don't know about you, my sister, she's not in here right now. I called her last night. I said, where are y'all? She said, we out here stargazing. We had a stargazing party. And I know Brother Damon has this wonderful app. He can go and you can look and put it up in the sky and you can see the stars and the planets and all of this. And you can know where these stars are, where the planets are. It's an amazing thing. And one of the things that I love when you go outside on a nice clear night when there's the moon and you can see the moon real clear. Have you ever been out on a night when there's a full moon? When the moon is really bright? And sometimes the moon is brighter than it is at other times. But what the moon is simply reflects the light of the sun. And the brightness of the moon is dependent upon how much of the moon's surface has facing the sun. Did y'all hear what I just said?
How bright the moon is depending upon how much of its surface faces the sun. And I'm here to tell you, how bright your light will shine depends how much of you faces the sun. How much do you allow yourself to bask in the light of the S-O-N, of the Son of God? How much do you allow yourself to be immersed in his light? That determines how bright your light is going to shine. See, God is light first. He's the light, and all we are called to do is to reflect his light. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The brighter, listen, the more you face the sun, the brighter your light will shine. This morning, we're going to look at some things that light does. We're going to look at what? L-I-G. We're going to look at five things. I got, how you spell light? L-I-G-H-T. Five things that light does. Is that all right? As the light of the world, five things that God has called us to do when we look at light. Light, the first letter in light is L. One thing I know about light is life-giving. Light is life-giving. You are supposed to give life. What do you mean, Pastor Dwayne? Guess what? You being here right now and breathing is all because of light. Y'all heard of photosynthesis? Photosynthesis, this is what photosynthesis is. All of you who are not scientists, if you don't remember your high school biology or high school science class, this is what photosynthesis is. Photosynthesis is a process that plants use and other organisms to convert light to energy. It converts it into chemical energy that can later be released into fuel the organism's activities. Photosynthesis is largely responsible for producing and maintaining the oxygen content of the Earth's atmosphere. And it supplies all the organic compounds and most of the energy necessary for life on Earth. Life on Earth is dependent on what? Light. And I'm here to tell you, we have the ability to give life by shining the light of Christ. What light does, light in the natural, it gives life. And you as the light of the world, God is calling you to be the light of the world. What does he want you to do? He wants you to give spiritual life to people. God is life, and we are the bearers of that life. We're the bearers of that light, and he's calling you and I to go forth and give life. How do we give life? By giving in the good news that Jesus saves. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In Christ is life. Church, we are not here for ourselves. We're here to enhance the culture. We're here to season. We're here to bring healing. We're here to stimulate thirst and to shine our light so that people can receive eternal life. Sometimes we're forgetting what we're here for. We're to be in the world, yes, but we're on a mission. We're on a mission. And what else? Our mission is a life-giving mission. Do you understand the people around you daily? It's like, I remember that movie, Sixth Sense, I believe it is, and the little boy said, I see dead people. Y'all remember that? Guess what? He said, I see dead people. We have people walking around us that are walking dead. And the sad thing, they don't know they're dead. They don't know it. And God is calling you to shine the light of Christ, to tell them the good news that we're all born in sin. We're born, what death is separation. That's why the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Sin brought death on everybody. The Bible says in Romans, by one man, sin entered the world, and then death by sin. And so death passed on to everybody. We're living in a world, we're born dying, we're born dead, separated from God. And God said, what the light does, you shine the light of Christ, and it helps to bring life to people to a saving knowledge of myself, my son, Jesus Christ. That's why you go to work. You don't go to work to make a living. You go to work to shine your light. You go to work to shine your light. Young people, that's why you go to school. God has you in school to what? Shine your light. Because he knows in this world, in earth realm, there are people who are doctors, there are people who are lawyers, there are people who are students, there are people who are mechanics, there are people who are stay-at-home moms, there are people in every walk of life, and they need light in all those areas. So he places you, he gives you a job, not to make money, but to shine your light. And you make money while you're shining your light, but sometimes we get twisted. We run after this kingdom and forget this is passing away. God has placed you here as a light. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to give life. Light is life-giving. Somebody say, give life. My question is, when is the last time you shared the good news of the gospel with somebody? You know why I asked that question? Because I asked myself that question the other day. See, as a pastor, sometimes you can give yourself a pass because you give a gospel message and you give an invitation every Sunday. That don't count. Amen. I mean, this is my, I'm supposed to do this. Yes, I give the gospel. Some people might come to Christ. But I was in my car the other day and said, Dwayne, when was the last time you went through the gospel with somebody when you weren't in the pulpit? That's what you're supposed to do. You shine your light. Listen, this is the deal. I'm not telling you to preach it, everybody. This is what we talked about last week. Salt stimulates thirst. When you live that seasoned, salty, that life that is salted and just right, then it will stimulate thirst. And then people will be, you said, be ready always to give an answer to those who ask you a reason for the hope you have. That, listen, when you live that salt life, people are going to want to know more. What makes you different? And you give them what? Life. God's called us to be lights. In your neighborhood, you're supposed to be a light. On your job, you're supposed to be a light. In your school, you're supposed to be a light. Let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because we're walking around people who are walking dead. Light. Light is life-giving. But the letter I in light, light not only is life-giving, I alluded to this next one a little bit, light, I, illuminates the dark. Light illuminates the darkness. When light comes, darkness leaves. You notice that? That's cool. I mean, that's one thing. You know, it can be pitch black, and you can have a pen light. It's not pitch black anymore. Light and darkness can't exist at the same time. Light illuminates darkness, and I know darkness can be scary, and when you speak of darkness, darkness usually represents evil. Darkness represents sin. Darkness represents depression. Anybody been in a dark place in your life? And what light does, it illuminates the darkness. One thing I know about darkness, it distorts reality. Remember I told you about my daughter? She said that it was dark, and there's somebody outside of her window. And when we finally turned the light on and went outside, it was just the branch hitting up against the window. The darkness distorted what reality is. That's why in the Bible it says that the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, it looks like death, but we say, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It ain't even really death. It's just the shadow. When you shine the light, you say, that ain't even really it. Darkness distorts reality. So God is calling you to illuminate the darkness. Y'all, I don't know if y'all looked at the news and look around us. We live in a world that is full of darkness. And what light does, listen, darkness distorts reality. When light illuminates the dark, it enhances things and it exposes things. It illuminates, I turn on the light to enhance so I can see better. When I'm reading, when in my room, when I'm looking for something, I turn on the light because it enhances my view. And also I turn on, so it's good. Light is good and it enhances, it makes the environment better. But also, light exposes. It shows when something is dirty, when something needs to be clean. You could be thinking, oh, man, everything's good. You turn on light, oh, my goodness, these floors need to be mopped. Anybody got teenage children? And they keep a dark room, and you go and you turn on light, oh, what in the world is in here? I have a ninth grade boy now, and he lives, you know, he got his own room. He lives on his own level. And sometimes I go in there in the morning, knock on the door. His door's locked. Da, 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 da. Turn on the light. Good gracious. Daddy, the room is clean. Turn on the light. No, it ain't. Light exposes. God has called us to be light. Light illuminates darkness. We live in a darkened world. This world is ruled by the enemy. And God has placed us here to shine our light so that we can enhance, so that people can see better, but also so that we can expose and show people where things need to be made right. That's why, that's what he's placed us here, to shine your light. And this is what I know about light. I said this about Saul. See, when you shine a light in a dark place, when people get used to darkness, when men love darkness because why? Their deeds are evil. Look at John. Let's read John chapter 3, 19 and 20. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be what? Exposed. Anybody know that when you've been sitting in a dark room for a while and you're comfortable, you can get comfortable in the darkness. And somebody turned the light on, you're like, hey man, what? Turn that light down. And initially, it's uncomfortable. You have to get adjusted to the light, amen? I said salt. When you put salt on a wound, initially it hurts, but eventually it brings healing. When you shine your light, initially people might say, whoa, but guess what? Then it shows them, man, I gotta get some stuff right. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But God has called you, no, you got to shine your light. God has placed you in your neighborhood to illuminate the darkness. And when you illuminate the darkness, sometimes initially you might get pushback just from shining your light. But that's right, you stay and you continue to be consistent, because eventually what it does, it enhances the view that people have. God has placed you here to be a light in the midst of a dark world. But unfortunately, listen, our passage says, nobody takes a light and puts it under a lampshade. We're in a world right now that is dark, and whether you want to or not, you're a light. But in the church, too often, we don't want to shine too much because we don't want to stick out. So we put a lampshade on. They say, who does that? Who covers the light? The light is supposed to shine, to enhance the view of for people, to expose darkness so they don't stay where they are. But too often, we're trying to blend like the world. This is the beautiful thing. I said light shines. He says you are a light whether you want to or not. If you have named the name of Christ, you're a light whether you want it or not. But there's too many of us who have gotten so influenced with the world and said, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm trying to fit in so bad. So what I'll do, I try to dim my light. How many, I know somebody got a testimony that you said, listen, I knew I was hanging around people I shouldn't be. I was doing stuff that I shouldn't, and I just still wasn't comfortable. Why? Because I wasn't really like them. Even when I was trying to dim my light, sometimes some of it still was shining underneath the bottom of the shade. It was still shining underneath the bottom of the shade. I was talking to my brother the other day. He said, I was in places that, Lord, no, I shouldn't be, but I was still different. Look, you're uncomfortable. I'm talking to somebody right there. If you're out there and you're living a way that you're trying to hide that light, he said, listen, let it shine. The world needs you to shine. They need you to shine. They don't need somebody to look just like they are. They need somebody to show them, listen, because there's things in their life, that there's darkness there, there's stuff that is dirty that needs to be cleaned, that they need somebody to shine the light of the gospel on. God's called you to be a light, to be life-giving. He's called you to be a light to illuminate the darkness. But another thing light does, light guides. A light guides. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. His word lights, it guides our feet. Look, when it says like a city that is set on a hill should not be here. Jesus used that on purpose because back in the Bible time, in ancient times, a lot of times cities were built on mountains or hilltops. They were built on a mountain or hills in elevated areas. Why? For protection. Because you wanted to make it hard if someone was going to attack you. You either built it on a hill, surrounded it by a wall, so that when people attack you, they could not get to you. We talk about Jericho. Jericho was elevated, had these humongous walls, so you couldn't get to it. He said a city on a hill cannot be here. He's talking about these elevated cities being Bible times. And whoever was listening to this especially would be aware that the fact that in Israel, they also had what were called cities of refuge. There were six cities of refuge in the kingdom of Israel. There were three on the western side of the Jordan, three on the eastern side of the Jordan. All three were built on mountains. I mean, all six were built on mountains. And what it says, the reason why, and they were all at least very close distance, one day's journey from wherever anybody was. Why? The city of refuge was a city where somebody could go when they were accused of a crime, but they really did not think they were guilty of. They went to the city of refuge to save their life. The city of refuge, if somebody was out there in the field, let's just say I'm working in the field, then my axe head falls off and hits my man Cornell in the head and he dies. It was an accident. We were working. I didn't mean for him to die, but a city of refuge is a place where I can go because his family gonna look to kill me because I took his life, even though it was an accident. So they built in cities that were a day's journey from anywhere people were so that you can go so that they couldn't get to you to save your life. And as long as you were in the city of refuge, you were safe. All of these cities were built on hills, and they could be seen by the fire that lit the city at night. He said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. God has called you to be like a city of refuge. The cities that were on a hill, they stayed lit. Why? So that people, when they were traveling, could see them in the distance and get there and get to safety. God is telling you, look, you're supposed to be a guide to guide people to safety, to guide people to refuge. That's what light does. Light shines. It guides. God's word guides our feet. What does it do? It's like a lighthouse. Anybody ever seen a lighthouse? You see, a lighthouse, it's alerting people to danger. It shines, telling that boat, danger. It's like the runway on a plane. When you come and you're flying on a plane, you see the runway is lit. It helps to guide you, make sure that you're in proper alignment. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a guide for the people out here in the culture. God has called you to be life-giving. He's called us to illuminate the darkness. Don't dim your light, shine it, let it shine so that people can see, man, they need that. Look, there's darkness all around you. You need to give your life to Christ. Your light is ought to be a guide, aligning people on the right path to be like a city of refuge that people can see no matter where they are, that they can get to when they're on their travels in this life to know that, listen, you are in a dangerous place and you need to get to a city of refuge and we are to be that light. That's what God is calling you to be. Shine your light. Your light is L, life-giving. Your light, I, illuminates the darkness. Your light, G, guides. Another thing that light does, H, light heats things up. Light is warm. Light, you are the light of the world. You're supposed to heat things up. You know what I think of warmth? I think of that. I think of love and fellowship. As a light, we're supposed to be a warm, safe place for people, church. Not just the building, but the body of Christ. We ought to heat things up. We ought to provide a warm place for people to come. 1 Thessalonians 3:6 says, but now that Timothy has come back to us from his visit with you and has brought us good news of your steadfast faith and the warmth of your love, and reported that you always think kindly of us and treasure your memories of us, longing to see us just as we long to see you. Listen, are we warm? Are we a warm place? I'm here to tell you, sometimes church can be cold. The church building and church people. Amen. More church folks have kept people out of the church Then I don't know anything else probably. God is calling us to love on people. When I think of heat, I think of love and of warmth. It's when we were at the pandemic, man, the pandemic, we couldn't be in the building. And I appreciate some of our young adults. Darian was here and Kyla was here and Ari was here. We're going to have a bonfire. We're going to be outside. We're going to worship in the parking lot. And it's cold, but we're going to set that fire. We're going to be out here. And I just think of the warmth that we had around those fires and to begin to worship God. And just people of anywhere, wherever you are, you can come and you feel the warm love of Christ. That's what you're supposed to be. not cold, not standoffish, but we ought to heat things up. We ought to, people ought to be able to feel an embrace. Guess what? No matter where they are on life's journey. Sometimes we've been saved so long and we forget where you used to be like and what God brought you out of. And people are all, as a light, what we ought to be is a place that is welcoming and warm. That's what, as believers, we ought to be. That's what the church ought to be. But too often people, we reject people because they're not where they're, not where we think they should be. Fact of the matter is none of us are where we should be. Light heats things up. We ought to provide a warm environment and when I say a warm environment, a lot of times in the church, we're so afraid that we're saying, well, I'm accepting of somebody's behavior. No, it's just not, I'm not accepting of that, of anybody's behavior. All I'm saying, I'm just loving you just like Christ loved me, because my stuff wasn't right when I came. So often we're so bent on trying to change people. It's not my, you know, as a pastor, can y'all say, I feel so free. God has shown me, Dwayne, you don't have to change nobody. Can I say, I'm a changed person. Because I used to try to, you know, use my words to convict people. God said, the Holy Ghost, you ain't the Holy Ghost. I don't have to do none of that. As a believer, it's so freeing. All I got to do is just preach Christ, love people, and let him do everything else. I heard Pastor David Anderson say, all you need to do is love people like Jesus, lead them to Jesus, and leave them with Jesus, and let him do the rest. It's easy, isn't it? And for me, it just takes a whole lot of weight off me. Let me just preach the truth, be warm to you. Yeah, I know you cantankerous. Yeah, I know you living with something. That's like he did with the woman at well. Yeah, I know you done has five husbands, and this man ain't your husband. I know that, but I still love you. I know, yeah, look, I know you've been talking about me. I know this, I know that. I know you got all kind of crazy stuff going on. I know you got an alternative lifestyle that I don't know. But guess what? I love you. That ain't my job to fix that. My job is to take you to the one who can fix it. It's like the woman at the well. When she met Jesus, and he did, look, a Samaritan woman. The Messiah. I told you the history of the Samaritans and the Jews. It was a real tense thing. The Messiah comes to a Samaritan woman and still loved on her and talked to her. Then what did she do? She said to her friend, let me take you to a man who told me everything about me. God just wants you to be, heat up the environment. Make it warm so that people can come to know the King. Amen? Light. Light is life-giving. Light illuminates darkness. Light guides. Light heats things up. And then T, light turns your focus. Light turns your focus. Look at the verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and do what? Glorify Dwayne. Let your light shine so that they can give the church, so the church can shine. No, it says, let your light shine, they can see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. When light shines, it turns the attention. God said, look, I want you to shine your light, not for you to get glory, but so that I get glory. That we turn, we have an opportunity to say, look over here, not look at me, but look at him. Light turns the focus. When I shine my light and I live like I'm supposed to live, it takes a focus off me. Why does it take a focus off me? Because when people who knew you before you were a light, there are people who knew you before you were a light, and then they see the good deeds, they see the transformation in your life, they know it can't be nothing but God. It turns the focus. Say, listen, I knew when she was out there. I knew when he was running the street doing all kind of crazy stuff. And now there's something different about him. It takes focus and say, listen, take me to the one who changed you. When you shine your light, it turns the focus off of people to God. Y'all, people, listen, we need to shine. There's a world around us that's dying, and we're so busy trying to fit in, trying to put our light under a bushel to be comfortable. God said, no, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And when you shine, I get glory. Y'all, there's no better light. It's no better thing than that. That's why I said, listen, a light is made to shine. I know lights are not living things, but anything that is not doing what it's designed to do is frustrated. It's not comfortable. It's not you. Anything that's not doing what it's designed to do is not. Look, you had stuff in your house that was designed to do stuff and don't work. How frustrating is that? What do? Get rid of it. Amen. If I got a light, if I got a flashlight that I've changed the batteries and I've done everything and it's still not working, I don't keep it around. I don't just keep it around. Why? It's not doing what I designed it to do. Oh, I'm not trying to scare nobody. But what did he create you to do? He made you to shine. If you're not shining as the master, how long do I tolerate you? How long did I put up with you? I made you to shine, and year after year, I'm gracious and merciful. His word said he won't always strive with me, but I know the master must be frustrated at times. They're supposed to shine. I'm a light. I made them to show my glory, but they're keeping me under a bushel. The master's not happy with that. And the good thing about the master said, listen, he won't shine. I'll use somebody else. I could use somebody else. That's one thing. The song says, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. He don't need me. I'm just a vessel. God can make a donkey talk. But if he made you to shine, you might as well shine. And one thing I know, it's nothing better than being in the sweet spot in life. Anybody ever been in your place where you're functioning, you're living right where God designed you, right when you're in your calling? It's not even like working. It's just like it's nothing better than being right where God designed you to be. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing more frustrated. Whether you're at home or in here, if you're a follower of Christ and you're not living for him, you are not comfortable. Can't be. It can't be. Things do not go well. It's like you can't ever get in a good rhythm. Why? Because I'm supposed to shine and I know I'm not shining. And you can try to deaden that voice every now and then and it'll work for a while. But when you know, God, you called me to something and I'm supposed to be doing it and I'm not doing it, that's not a comfortable place to be. What God is calling us to do today, if you're a follower of Christ, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Light, the world needs your light. Why? Because it needs life. Light is life-giving. Light illuminates the darkness. We live in a dark world. Man, can you imagine how different it would be if the church really shined? If we really were to be salt and light like God had called us to be? Man, that's attractive. That's attractive. Yeah, initially some people it can be like, whoa, but man, I'm telling you, that'll draw people. He's called us to illuminate the darkness, to be a guide for people, to illuminate the way so they can guide them, to get them in right alignment, to be warm, to be a place to heat things up, to be a warm environment, and to turn people's focus to the master. And when we do that, guess what? He said, listen, thy kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants his kingdom to be done right here in this realm. And then he does that by utilizing you and I to be salt and to be light. My question is, though, are you going to take the shade off? Are you going to take the shade off today? Because there's a world who needs you to shine. Amen? Could you all stand to your feet? Could you stand to your feet for me? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's a little song you learned as a kid. Hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel. I got three people that said no. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, this little light of mine. Somebody help me.
gonna let it shine. Come on. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Come on, say that one more time. This little light of mine.
Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, Lord. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine,
let it shine, let it shine.
Dear God, Heavenly Father, help us to shine our light in a world that, Lord, is full of darkness. Lord, in a time where when we shine our light, people initially will kind of jump back because they're so used to the darkness. Help us to be bold. Shine the light so that we can enhance the environment and expose the dirt that needs to be cleaned. Help us to, Lord God, be bearers of your light so that we can bring life and speak life. Lord, the light that Christ gives, that we will, Lord, take up the mantle to share the good news of the gospel wherever we go. That, Lord God, that we'll be willing to be a place that is warm and inviting for people no matter where they are on life's journey, and trust you to bring change in their lives. That as we shine our light, that we'll turn the focus off of us to you so you get glory. We thank you, Lord God, that you've chosen to use us as your light. But the fact of the matter is, God, we also need to admit that sometimes we've been hiding it under a bushel. And God, thank you for being patient with us. But Lord, your word says you won't always strive with us either. If there's somebody today, God, who said, look, I know my light hasn't been shining like it should. I've been holding it under a bushel. I pray, Lord, that they were convicted and challenged to say, look, let me take off the shade and let it shine. Thank you for being gracious and patient and merciful with us when we haven't been shining like we should. And that you have us here today to give us another opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. We praise you. Help us, Lord, not squander this opportunity today. If you're here today, I want to say one thing I want to talk to two people. Number one, if you said, I've accepted Christ and I have the light of his son in me, his light is in me, but I admit, Pastor, I haven't been shining like I should. God has convicted me. I need to let my light shine. That's it. God's convicted me. I need to let my light shine. Will you pray for me that God will give me the boldness to let my light shine like it should? If that's you, could you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. That's it. I haven't been letting my light shine, but I want, Lord, give me the boldness to let my light shine. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? God, you've convicted me. Forgive me. Today I want to make a change. I see that hand. Somebody else? Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hands that are raised. And I thank you for being a God of grace and mercy. That, Lord, when we haven't let our light shine, that you've given us another opportunity. You're a God of another chance. And today, the light that is in them, those who've raised their hand, Heavenly Father, give them the boldness to break the shade. Lord, surround them with other lights to encourage them and to help walk with them, that they might lock arms and shine a light to enhance the environment around them, to expose what needs to be exposed without fear, to know that you'll walk with them. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Finally, before I close, if you're here today or at home and you've never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life and you'd like to invite Christ into your life, I said he gives life. One thing about light, it gives life. He is light, and this life was the light of men. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. What he wants to do is give you eternal life. God made you for eternity. He made you to be in a relationship with him, but sin entered the world and broke that relationship. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for your sin and my sin so that he could restore you into a right relationship with him. And if you want that relationship restored, if you want to receive the eternal life that he offers through his son, Jesus Christ, it's very simple. All you got to do, number one, is admit to God that you are a sinner separated from him. The Bible says we all are. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. First, A, admit to God that you're a sinner separated from him. B, believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross just for you. Believe that he came, that his blood was shed just for you. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believed in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Believe that, and then C, choose to make him Savior and Lord of your life, to make you to forgive all of your sins and make you who he wants you to be. If you'd like to receive Christ today, to have your sins forgiven, to know that you can have eternal life, and to walk in abundant life right here on this in this earth realm, I want to pray a prayer, a simple prayer. If you'd like to invite Christ wherever you are, I want you to repeat this silently after me. Just say, dear God, thank you for loving me like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me to pay for my sin. I believe he was buried and he rose again to make me right with you. Today I choose to invite Christ as Savior and Lord of my life. Lord, forgive me of all my sin. Make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it and you're in the building, will you please see me immediately after service? I will stay right around in this area. I want you to come and make a bold step and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Look, what do I do next? And we'll get some material in your hand. If you're at home, you can't come see me here, but what you can do is go right onto that link, encounterchurch.net/next, and you can indicate I accepted Christ. Something real simple, you could also use your phone, text the word next to 301-804-2520. When you do that, you're going to get a video from me on your phone that says, Welcome to the Family of God. And then over the next 30 days, we'll give you something to help you grow in your walk with him. Amen? Praise God. Amen? Bless the Lord. You may have your seats. Amen. Amen. Before we get ready to close, we want to have our time of giving. Amen. We want to have our time of giving. God has blessed us tremendously in this land of abundance, and we want to honor him by giving back to him what is rightfully his. And I just want to say, can you give yourselves a round of applause really quick? Really quick. We're giving God glory, but I'm going to give you a round of applause. The reason why I did that is because God has used you mightily over this last 2+ years to help sustain his work and continue his work going. And I just thank God for you. But he's got great. How many believe God for greater? God wants to do greater things. And it takes resources to do those great things. And God wants to use our resources, really, they're his resources, that we give back to him to do his work, to reach more people for his kingdom, so that we can be that warm light, to shine his light brighter so all can see. So right now, we're going to give you an opportunity to give to help us shine the light brighter in a culture. You can give right here. There are brothers in the aisle. You can come now who have our offering here. Also, if you've gone digital or during the pandemic, you can use Cash App. You'll see the links on the screen. At home, you can give Cash App. You can use the website. You can use Givelify by just using the links that are on the screen. Amen? Amen.